and welcome to the Locked On NHL Podcast. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. I am your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, and also the host of Locked On Leafs. And I'm joined here by my co-host, Bird Bouchard from sports card investor and YouTuber with Red Cape Sports. Bird, how you doing?
Doing well, Mike. So excited to be here, and I can't wait to make this a regular thing. So, like I said, just so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be our first hockey card investor special here on the Locked On NHL podcast. We're going to be doing one each and every month, kind of doing a market update. What's going on in the market? Who should you be buying? Who should you be selling? What news is going on in the world or in the NHL that is affecting the sports card market? Because, over the last couple of years, the sports card market has very rapidly increase. And I think right now it's really starting to pick up some steam. And while the whole world is kind of going in shambles and the economy has been rolling over in a lot of parts of the world due to COVID, the sports card market has actually thrived and has been bigger and better than ever. Now, a lot of that might have to do with the fact that everyone just has a lot more disposable income because there's nothing to do. But I also think that interest has kind of been reborn, and the sport and the hobby is growing. So I think with that, we just figured, well, let's start a show about it. And doing it weekly may be a little, not much changes from week to week, but month to month, you could see some fluctuation of the market. So every single month, Bird and I on the Lockdown NHL podcast are going to be bringing you a sports card or a hockey card investor special. So this is the first one. And because it's the first one, we're going to go through some investing tips. So we're going to do like a little crash course, hockey card investing 101. And then after that, we're going to kind of talk about what news is affecting the hobby. So the return to play will be finalized and ratified over the next coming days. And what does that mean for the hobby? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What type of stuff inside this return to play is going to kind of affect the way that the market's moving? And then we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to give you some tips. We're going to do a game called Buy, Sell, Hold, where we'll tell you a player we're buying, a player we're looking to sell, and a player that we're definitely going to hold on. And then we'll tell you our pickups of the month, and then you yourself can go out there and hopefully take the information that we talked about today and get started on your journey to becoming a hockey card investor or a collector, because they're both a lot of fun, and they really do come hand in hand. Because first and foremost, in order to be an informed investor, you got to be an informed collector, and that's what both Bird and I are. And so before we get into all that other stuff, let's just give you some quick tips and a quick crash course on hockey card investing. So we do have some things that I think are going to be notable, some things that you should know while getting into the hobby. And Bird, I'm going to ask you first, what is the number one thing you think that people getting into the hobby should know?
Well, first and foremost, I truly believe that young guns is key, right? Contrary to popular belief, when it comes to other sports, like, baseball, you got your Tops, you got Bowman, Upper Deck, and you got so many different products. But when it comes to hockey, you're going to primarily want to focus on Upper Deck Series 1 and Series 2, and you're going to want to look for those young guns. That seems to be what the market has deemed the true rookie cards, if you will, and ultimately the cards that are going to have the most value. Mind you, there are other products, but I want to say 90% of the time, young guns are king and definitely the number one way to go.
100%. Young guns is probably the thing that's going to hold the most value for the longest time. And another thing to note is that upper deck is king in hockey. NBA, they have their Panini Prism base rookies. MLB's got their Tops base rookies. Well, Upper Deck Series 1 and Series 2, they have these young guns, and those are considered the flagship rookies for hockey. So those are the ones you're definitely going to want to try and pick up as much as you can. So it's an Upper Deck Series 1, Upper Deck Series 2. Those release every year in October for Series 1, and I believe it's February-ish for Series 2, and that's where you're going to get the year's class of rookie cards in those series. What other cards are you looking into when you're looking to dabble into some sports card investing outside of the traditional rookie cards?
So outside of the traditional rookie cards, something like SP Authentic or Future Watch, or really something that we like to call RPAs within this hobby, which stands for Rookie Patch Autos. Now, mind you, those are going to be products that are more, I guess, geared to you know, people with, you know, maybe more money, right? They're not the cheapest products, but boy, oh boy, are they ever pretty. So that's literally what you get. It's a rookie card. Let's say a Connor McDavid rookie card with a little patch of his jersey and it's signed. So these are things that are hot commodities, as we call them, and they're just a lot harder to pull, meaning that they're more rare. And at the end of the day in the hobby, the rarer the card, typically speaking, the higher it sells for. So if you're not looking into young guns, those are my other options of things that I would definitely consider picking up.
And, you know, rookie cards are usually the ones that people look for most, I would say, just because those are, you know, the first card, the first year cards of these players, and that's what sells. Anybody who's looking to collect these guys, they want to make sure that they have all the first year cards, the quote rookie card of that player. But there are others. You can also invest, make money, and collect cards that aren't people's rookies. So, you know, whether it's just jersey relics, autograph cards, patch autos, you know, photo variations, short prints, numbered cards, and those also can be quite valuable if you get the right players. You know, for the most part, for these guys, you are looking for the big players, you know, your Crosby, McDavid's, Ovechkin's, you know, those types of guys, Austin Matthews, but you can still end up you know, making a quick buck or a good flip if you do end up pulling one of these or getting one on the cheap to flip. And that brings me to my next topic, flipping. Mm-hmm. What is flipping to you, and why do you believe that it is one of the most important parts to being a hockey card investor?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to put out there that everyone is going to have their different definition of what flipping is. Now, flipping to me is trying to sell a card at least within a season, right? So the NHL season, you know, you have those 82 regular season games. If I'm looking to flip something, I'm either looking to flip it within that season, or if I purchase something now, you know, I'm going to look to flip it really quick come playoffs. Now, mind you, for other sports card investors, flipping might be something that's more long term, such as 1 to 3 and even 5+ years. But for the most part, I would say that a large portion of the industry and the hobby, they're going to say that flipping is a card that you purchase, let's say, for $10 on February 1st. And then the next month you're looking to get it for, you know, maybe sell it for $30 or even more. And flipping is so important. It basically kind of feeds your bankroll, if you will. And then you just keep purchasing more and more expensive cards, or maybe a card that you want to get for your personal collection. But at the end of the day, I think that we can both agree flipping is the number one reason why most people actually join this hobby.
100%, because I think, you know, if you're not flipping your cards, then you're just, well, you're a collector. But unless you are a very rich individual, which neither of us are, it's really, really tough to be. It's tough to be a card collector just because how expensive it is, right? If you're just a collector and you're not into the whole buying, selling, flipping thing, you're basically just spending money on boxes and cards and not recouping your value back. And if you're not doing that, then you're just pumping money into these cards and not seeing any return. That's going to be very expensive. And that's kind of what I did when I was younger, just because I didn't really know how to work the whole investment factor into it. But over the last, you know, few months, year or so, I would say I've gotten more into the flipping and investing side. And one of the biggest things that you can do as a flipper is if you buy raw cards, getting them graded and then flipping them is probably one of the best things you could do to try and get the biggest return on your investment. And when it comes to grading, Beckett, BGS, is the common company that is used for grading hockey cards. Whereas others, you know, Panini or for NBA and for Topps in the States, a lot of them, they use PSA. But for some reason in hockey, we use Beckett a lot, and that's kind of the holy grail grading system here for the hockey market. And they use a 10-point system with 0.5 increments to determine the condition of the card. That's essentially what grading does. It determines the condition of the card, and the higher the condition, the more valuable the card is. So there's four criteria. You have your surface, you have your edges, your cornering, your corners, and your centering. So those are the four things that you're looking into if you're buying a raw card. And if all of those kind of check out for you and you think that it's centered well, which I didn't realize when I was younger, but basically when something comes out of the factory, that kind of determines the centering. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you have done yourself. Like, you can pull a card fresh from the pack and it'll be off-centered, which automatically will demote your card from a perfect 10 down to a 9.5 or maybe even a 9, depending how bad the centering is. Today's cards, and I find Young Guns aren't as bad as some cards were in the past with it, but just something to keep in mind. Your corners, obviously, that is the four corners of the card. Just kind of make sure that they're not nicked or they're not rounded at all and they're pointy and all that. And then the edges, just kind of make sure there's no white edging all around the border of the card, or just to make sure that it's kind of in pristine condition. And surfaces, obviously, the front and back of the card, just make sure there's no creases or bleed lines or scratches or anything like that. So that's something to look into when you're looking to buy a raw card, to grade it in order to flip. Because when you buy a card raw, let's say you buy, give me a card, Bird. Let's just use it an example here of a card that you bought raw, graded, and then flipped it for more money.
I haven't actually flipped it yet, but immediately what comes to mind is Artemi Panarin.
Right.
That was a card that I was able to purchase raw. I was able to purchase it at the start of the season, I want to say September. So I guess even before the season started, I got it for about $10 or $11 Canadian. And obviously with the seasons he's having, like you said, very, very, very important to inspect a card for those four criteria. Make sure the centering was good, the corners, the edges, like I said. And I sent it in to BJS, and I was very happy with what I got. It was a true 9.5. So all four subcategories came back a 9.5. And that $10 investment has, literally 10x'd, more than $100 now. So grading cards is so important, especially when you go to actually what we call flip or sell these cards, because there's really no questions left. Like, if you're going to sell a raw card online, well, what I consider a 10, you might consider an 8 or vice versa. So by flipping these cards and by having them graded by a company like BGS or PSA, it really just eliminates a lot of headaches. No more questioning, no more guessing what type of condition this card is. And that's the thing too, like, so long as it remains in this lab, that PSA 10 or that BGS 9, that's going to be that condition for life. So definitely want to look into doing that if you're serious about flipping cards.
Yeah, for sure. I have two other things that I thought were notable to kind of let you know about, when you're first starting to get into investing. The first thing is, goal scorers are king. Those are the most attractive players and the most valuable players out on the market. So that's your Ovechkins, your Austin Matthews, Svechnikov. These guys are king right now, and those are the ones that you're going to want to try and invest in as much as possible. And then the other thing is the size of the market that the players play in. So you have guys in Toronto or Chicago and Vancouver where the market's a lot larger, which means the fan base is larger. So in terms of supply and demand, there's going to be a lot more people wanting those cards, and those players have more fanfare. Therefore, people are going to pay more money for them. And so those cards end up being more valuable and more expensive. So when you go to flip them, so you look at guys in, on the Leafs or character, like pretty much any original six team is going to be an attractive card to try and get because those places have big fan bases. And then you kind of look on the other side where guys in Columbus, Carolina, Florida, although they have good players, tremendous players, their cards may be valued a little less just because, you know, there's only a few hundred people looking for them, where you have a few thousand people looking for these guys in Toronto or Vancouver.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's so important to realize. I mean, we look at a guy like Alex Barkov, and I mean, year in, year out, he's one of the better, more elite players, let's call him. And unfortunately, his card hasn't quite, jumped to that $100 raw range, where if you compare his stats and his numbers to other players with similar stats, their pricing is definitely there. But because of the fact that I guess he's quote unquote stuck in Florida for the time being, his card prices just haven't really kind of grasped the market's attention. And that also brings me up to another point that I'd like to mention here is I personally like to invest in playoff contenders. So as great and as young as Dylan Larkin is, we all knew at the start of the season that the Detroit Red Wings would not be a playoff contending team. So, you know, that's something that I always look forward to, you know, to be quite transparent. That's a really hot time to sell your sports cards. If you want to see some good gains and some good returns while flipping cards, selling them during playoffs is very, very crucial. But, you know, Dylan Larkin's not going to see the playoffs for, you know, over a year plus, maybe even two, maybe 2 to 3 years. So, you know, it's great putting up 70 points on that, let's call them dreadful team. But at the end of the day, investing in Dylan Larkin, at least in my opinion, wouldn't necessarily be the greatest option right now if you're looking to flip short term. Now, if you're looking to do it long term, you know, you can definitely get his card prices for extremely cheap. So that's just something else that I want to throw out there. And also try to invest in players who are around 23 years or younger. That's when you can get them for cheap. And then, of course, because they're currently young, you basically what I'm saying here is you have more of a window of opportunity for a long career. So someone like Ovechkin, at one point in given time, you could easily buy his rookie card, his Young Guns, for $100. Now, since it's drastically gone up, but if you get into the game early, you know, you have so many options to decide, well, where do I want to sell? Do I want to double my money? Do I want a 3X, 4X, whatever my money? And at this point, you know, I'd probably still hold on to his card. But because of the fact that he's won scoring titles, because of the fact that he just won a Stanley Cup, those kind of accolades are what you're going to want to look for in a player. And with that being said, though, the longer you hold on to the risk, the higher the reward is. So the longer you hold on to a player's card, you can definitely flip it for more money, but there's also more risk. And then on the other side of that, you know, a lot of people like to flip early because things like injuries can happen. Things like trades can happen, you know, getting traded to a worse market. So that's, you know, some of the stuff that I definitely wanted to point out there. The longer you hold, higher risk, higher reward, and vice versa.
And I mean, technically it could, and that's why it's, you know, it's not always a guarantee, right? This is why it's investing. It does take a little bit of research to know what's going on. And it's not just, okay, it's going to keep going up, 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 up. And then, you know, 40 years down the road, that card is now worth, you know, a few thousand dollars. No, it could come down. It could come crashing. Like, let's take a look at a player that's currently in the NHL right now, Jamie Benn. I think 5 years ago, Jamie Benn, his card was going for about $80 to $100. And now, you know, if you held on to that thinking, oh my God, you know, he's in his prime right now, you hold on to that 5 more years, that could double if he wins a scoring title again, or if he ends up winning a Stanley Cup with Dallas, or, you know, some other thing happens, he wins a couple more trophies, it could end up doubling up to a $200 card. Well, instead, he actually fell off a cliff, and now that card's going for, oh, about, what I got here, $17.50 it sold for on July 6th, $20 it sold for the other day, $22. So you can get one graded right now, 9.5, for $80, and that's a 9.5 grade. So, you know, you also do have to kind of keep in mind what's going on, and it's not always going to go up, and you do have to know what's going on with your cards and the players that you're investing in, which I think leads me to my final point is know who you're investing in. And don't invest in everybody. You kind of have to pick who you want to invest in, because if you try and invest in everybody, you might not be able to focus on what's going on in their market. And you might forget who you have. So I know, for example, myself, I forgot that I had a bunch of Jordan Binnington cards. So last year when St. Louis won the cup, that would have been a great opportunity to dump some of them and sell high because everybody was looking for Binnington. And I just totally forgot, because I had been out of the hobby for a couple of years, that I had a bunch of Binnington to sell. And I kind of missed on that window. And now I'm waiting for that window to open back up again. So if you only, you know, picked a few cards, and I know that on Red Cape Sports, you guys kind of have a list of you know, your 40-50-10 list. So if you could go into that a little bit and kind of share how you and your brother Mitch kind of go about the players that you decide to invest in and how you try and put it into certain categories.
Right. So for us, that 40-50-10, for lack of a better term, that's just kind of putting your money where you want it. So for example, someone like me, right? I might be a bit different from someone like Mitch, meaning I might put, let's say, 10% of my investments into guys who are risky. So guys who are risky, you know, rookies who just came into the league that not many people know of, who I'm hopeful on, or who I see lots of potential. You know, those are cards that typically speaking, if they hit well, but for the most part, 90% of the time, those cards are going to be flops. So I might only risk 10% into that. 50%, I'm going to risk into guys who are basically 25 years or younger. Those guys, such as, let's say, Andrei Svechnikov, you know, a few years under his belt, we know that he's a stud. Same thing with Austin Matthews, a few years under his belt. It also in a great market, and like you said, elite prolific goal scorers. So I'm going to put more of my money into, you know, basically what I'd like to call safer investments. And then I guess the other percentage, I might go for, let's say veteran players who just don't have a ring yet. So a few years ago, I was investing highly into Jarome Iginla. He was a veteran player, didn't have a ring yet. Obviously, he didn't end up getting it, but kudos to him for getting into the Hall of Fame. But yeah, that's basically just an investment strategy so that you know, okay, if I want to be a bit riskier, maybe I put a larger percentage into riskier plays. And if I want to, you know, play it safer, then of course you're going to maybe have something like 75 to 80% of your portfolio into, let's call them more established players. So like, an Austin Matthews or a Connor McDavid even.
Right. All right. So let's move on. I think that's a pretty good little crash course there of investing 101 into hockey cards. So hopefully you guys picked out some pretty good information if you guys want to start investing a little bit. I mean, you don't need to have a lot of money. You really do not, you know, guys like Bird and I, we're pretty shortchanged in the pockets, and we go out and it, again, it's about flipping. So you got to try and buy some cards low, you got to sell them high, and that's how you get your money to invest. Like I know for myself, I started off buying most of the cards that I were buying were all under $20. And right. From there, you know, I just kind of grew my collection a little bit and were able to sell some of those cards for more, obtain some more funds, and then invest into some more, you know, some more expensive cards, if you will, or into lots and stuff. And that's one other thing too. If you can invest into lots, sometimes you can get things cheaper. So if you can find somebody who's looking to sell, you know, five or six of the same young gun, usually they'll take a couple of bucks off that young gun just because they're selling them all as one, as opposed to doing them, you know, one by one. So they'll save on shipping. They'll save on a lot of different things, save on time as well. So instead of, you know, you got a card that say you're buying five cards at 10, they're worth about 10 bucks a piece. Instead of selling them for 50, usually they'll sell them for, you know, between 40 and 45 bucks. So you're saving a buck or two off of each card because you're taking them as a lot. So that's I guess the final tip, the bonus tip we'll give you when it comes to investing. All right, coming up, we'll chat about some news that's affecting the hobby, and then we'll play some buy, sell, hold. But first, let me tell you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals as the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Mike DiStefano alongside Bird Bouchard as we continue our journey into the NHL or the hockey investing world. So right now has been a weird time to be investing into hockey over the past few months because there hasn't been hockey, whereas usually this, you know, it's the playoffs, whereas where we see the most market fluctuation is in the playoffs. But that hasn't been the case due to COVID. So it's been a weird time to be investing. But I think for myself, I was doing a lot of buying and holding because, you know, I knew that the playoffs were going to happen eventually. And then we just got some news this week about a return to play. How does this news affect the hobby, Bird?
Oh my goodness. If you were buying cards previous to this news, this is your time to cash in. As I alluded to previously here, Mike, playoffs are probably the hottest and the best time for sports card flippers to sell cards. That's when you make your money because everyone's watching the playoffs. And, you know, when there's, remember last year, right? Everyone was thinking that Tampa was going to go all the way, and then they ended up getting swept. And you could physically see within the market that a guy like, you know, Elvis, the goalie there for the Blue Jackets, his card prices started going up. Even Artemi Panarin a little bit. So playoffs, specifically for, let's call them underdog teams, you know, those card prices are definitely going to jump. And when a player wins a Stanley Cup, throwback to just a few years ago when Alex Ovechkin won his first cup after, you know, what seemed like, you know, a decade in the league, it probably was even, his card prices just went soaring and people have missed watching hockey. And I think that this is, if not the the biggest opportunity the sports card hobby has ever seen in terms of flipping sports cards opportunity. So if you have some sports cards, definitely hold on to them because come playoffs, you know, this is going to be your chance to make some good money.
Yeah, and I think you still have time to start investing now. We're still a month away from playing actual games. So I think that you still have an opportunity to make some money off of flips if you're getting in there and you're buying over the next few weeks. But make sure you're investing in guys who are going to be in the playoffs. Like we said, investing in guys like Dylan Larkin, who's not going to be in the limelight, not going to be on TV, on SportsCenter or ESPN or wherever. You know, he's going to be sitting on his couch watching hockey just like you. He's not going to be improving his stock at all. So don't be investing in those guys. Invest in the players, like we said, who we think are going to make long runs. So guys on Tampa, maybe guys on St. Louis, Washington. If you want, you could try, and if you think that Toronto is going to be a team that goes far, invest in Toronto players. So just be wary about who you're investing in right now, only because I think that these cards are going to start moving a lot, and we're going to start seeing fluctuation, which is something we haven't really seen over the last few months because there hasn't been actual gameplay. But another thing to be wary about, I believe, players have the opportunity over the next few days to start opting out. And I think, I don't know if we're going to get any, but if we do, make sure you're not investing in those players because if they're opting out, I think that'll take a decent hit to their stock because if they opt out to play, I think some sports card investors may believe that it just, for whatever reason, people are going to look at it negatively, and it's going to have a negative impact on the value of that card. So let's say Austin Matthews, we'll even use, you know, he was just diagnosed with COVID-19. Let's say he decides, you know what, I already got it and it sucked. I do not want to play and risk giving it to anybody else. So I'm going to bow out. His card might take a bit of a dip. It could.
For sure.
So I think you need to be wary about those over the next coming days and see what happens once this gets ratified. And I believe they have 3 days once it's officially ratified to say, you know, I don't feel safe. I want to opt out. So we'll see what happens. The other thing that I actually believe that's coming through this new CBA extension that was announced, I believe that the insertion of the Olympic Games going back on the table is huge for the hobby. Because I think that it gives us the opportunity, us being the sport of hockey, to grow the market in China. It's going to Beijing. And that's what the NBA did. They grew the market in China. If you go look at the NBA sports card market, it's massive. It is huge. And it's because they have people investing and collecting all around the world, which is making the supply a lot lesser than it's making the demand higher than the supply. Whereas in hockey, we're still pretty much primarily being collected in Canada for the most part. It's not even that big in the States. It's pretty much just in Canada. But if we could grow it through the Olympics and kind of generate some interest in certain players, then I think that could also be good for the hobby. So for me, I'm also right now kind of looking into some more longer term holds for players who could end up showcasing themselves at the 2022 Olympics. I think those guys could be good buys as longer term holds. What are your thoughts? Do you think that the Olympics could have a play in the hobby over the next couple of years?
Oh, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, the Olympics is as we call it, the biggest platform in the world. All eyes are on it. There's a reason why, you know, even the bids for the host cities are so high, because at, you know, it seems like the world tends to stop. So yeah, definitely. I mean, Team Canada for a long time has been such a dominant team, but I would argue that over the last couple of years, you know, and obviously we both love watching Team Canada hockey dominate, but you know, you look at the U.S. and they've started doing well. Finland's been doing well. Russia continues to dominate, and Sweden. So I honestly feel like any given year, anyone can win the Olympics or even the World Juniors. So absolutely, you know, if you know that, let's say especially a young Canadian is going to be performing in the Olympics and doing well, you'll 100% you're going to see his card prices rise. And not to switch sports too much, but it's the exact same thing that we always see every 4 years with the World Cup. Those card prices just skyrocket. And I also believe in 2022, you'll see those soccer cards rise. So the same thing can definitely be applied for the hockey market. And the hockey market is growing. I just feel like we need to get more people taking the time to watch the game, to learn the game, and then ultimately we'll grow the game in the hobby. So 100%, the Olympics and players performing in the Olympics is only going to be beneficial to us as sports card investors.
For sure. All right, we'll take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll play some buy, sell, hold, and we'll tell you guys about some of the best pickups that we made this past month. All right, welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Our hockey card investing special. Once again, we'll be doing this every single month, once a month in the first week of July. This was the inaugural show. So we went through, we talked about some of the investment tips and some things to know if you're going into hockey card investing. Then we talked about some of the news that's affecting the hobby and how that will play out over the next few weeks. And now we're going to play a game called Buy, Sell, Hold. So we're going to take a look at a player that we are buying up right now, a player that we're looking to sell, and then a player that we are holding. And then we'll talk about some of the big pickups that we've made throughout the month. So I will let you go first, and I'll let you go through players that you're buying, player that you're selling, and then a player that you're looking to hold. But before we do that, we do want to put a bit of a disclaimer, because I don't think right now is the time to sell for anybody. And we talked about this before we really hit record, because right now with the playoffs just around the corner, you could look and say, okay, a lot of these cards are about to fluctuate. Some of them could go up, some of them could go down, but you don't really know what's going to happen until we get there. So when it comes to selling, I'm not sure I'm selling much of anybody or anything right now, but I think the players that we've decided to pick are guys who you should be thinking about once the playoffs get going and through the first couple of weeks in August. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer before we did get into our buy, sell, hold. So without further ado, Bird, take it away. Give me your buy, sell, holds.
Alrighty. So first and foremost, when I'm looking to buy a card, as I mentioned previously, this is obviously going to be a guy who is young, is elite, is a raw, pure talented goal scorer, a threat to score every time he steps on the ice. And, you know, if this guy can survive COVID-19, the sky's the limit to see what he can do in playoffs. So my first buy option is going to be Austin Matthews. Now, I get it. You know, his card prices are a bit more expensive. 100% they're a bit more expensive, but rightfully so. You know, correct me if I'm wrong here as well, but I believe four straight seasons of 40-plus goals or maybe three straight seasons. But regardless, this guy finds the back of the net all the time. And, you know, in Original Six, big market team like the Toronto Maple Leafs are absolute king within Canada. So if he leads the Leafs to a cup, you know, for sure, right now he's not wearing the C, but one day I eventually do see him wearing the C there, and his card prices are just going to soar. So right now, buy Austin Matthews when he leads the Leafs to a cup, because I do believe he will eventually get it done, those card prices are going to soar. So that's option number one for buying cards right now, Austin Matthews. When it comes to selling, obviously right now might not be the best time, but I'm actually one of those rare occasions that I do own a rookie card of Jason Spezza. Now, of course, I missed the market for selling Jason Spezza back with the Alfredson and Heatley line. But, you know, this is a guy who has largely been forgotten, I would argue, by a lot of people within the hockey industry. And, you know, let's face it, he's at the tail end of his career. So if he goes on to do, some great things this playoffs, maybe he's not, maybe he is. But, you know, if I did have to pick a single player to sell, it would be Jason Spezza, just assuming that the Leafs would end up going far within the playoffs. And then my last pick, so my hold, is going to be Connor McDavid. Regardless, if he wins a cup or not, I feel like Connor McDavid is the best player within the NHL right now. I believe he's just 22 years old. He's the prototypical 5-tool player. He can really do it all. And his career is just going to get bigger, better, and brighter. And the fact that he's in a huge market right now, such as Edmonton, he's so often compared to the great 199 Wayne Gretzky. So Connor McDavid, yeah, his card prices are a bit more expensive too, but I'm telling you all, there's so much room for growth. You compare his rookie card right now to even a guy like Alex Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby, and there is so much tremendous growth for Connor McDavid. And I just see him winning so many more scoring titles, even eventually a Stanley Cup. And yeah, so those are my buy, sell, and hold options for this upcoming playoffs.
Such low-hanging fruit, Bird. Such low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, I'm sure you yourself, being a Leafs fan, can appreciate two of those picks.
I can. No, those are good picks. Those are really good picks. I think Matthews, you look at the prices that some of these guys have seen, like the just soar, you know, I think Matthews, you look at the prices of a guy like Crosby, and you look at the price of a guy like McDavid, and you just see those cards where they were hovering around, you know, the $150 to $200 mark for a few years. And then they really have exploded now. You know, you're looking at almost a grand Canadian for a Crosby and about $500 or $600 for a McDavid. That's raw, right? A raw card at those prices. And right now you can get a Matthews for about $200, $250. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few years from now they're hovering about $400 or $500 too. So those are definitely good buys, and if he ends up winning a Richard or if he wins a Stanley Cup, I mean, sayonara, goodbye. That's, that card is going to probably 5X from the $200 range that it's hovering at right now. For the time being, when they win, it might end up falling down a little bit, but solid, solid picks there. I kind of went a different direction. I chose for my buy to take a guy who I think is incredibly undervalued, a guy who you could pick up for real, real cheap. So those people who are just starting to get into the market right now, and you just want to pick up some cheap players, I took a guy who you can get for under $5 pretty well all day. And we've spoke about him before, Bird, and I'm still buying on him. I've been buying on him for a few months now. Kevin Fiala. This is my guy, Kevin Fiala. He turned it on this season towards the back half of the season in Minnesota. Not that I think Minnesota is going to go on a huge run, but I do believe that his card is incredibly undervalued. You could pick him up for $2, $3, $4. I wouldn't spend any more than $5 on him because you can get him for a lot less, but he's a guy who should be worth double that. And I think is increasing. You look at the last 20 games of the regular season, only Mika Zibanejad, who had a 5-goal game, had more goals than Fiala towards the end of the season. So this is a guy who is heating up and finally figured out the NHL, and he's playing in a pretty good hockey bed in Minnesota. It doesn't get talked about as being a good hockey market just because they're not in Canada or they're not Original Six, but Minnesota's hockey is like the state of hockey is huge in Minnesota. So I think Fiala being their big dog going forward is going to be a good buy. If you can get them for under $5, I'm picking them up all day. I've picked up about 13 or 14 Fialas in the last month. So I'm buying them. And I think that if he can come through in the playoffs this season, or even this might be a 1 or 2 year hold, buy and hold, I think Fiala will definitely triple, if not quadruple, in price within the next calendar year. Sell, I stuck with the same team as you with the Maple Leafs, but I went with Kasperi Kapanen. Right now, his card's going for about $15 to $20 Canadian, which I think is okay. Like, I wouldn't buy at that price. I think that might be a little bit, it might be around market value, $15, maybe $20, probably too much for me. But I would sell at that price because I'm not sure Kapanen is going to be sticking around Toronto much longer. So if he performs well in the playoffs and that card goes up to $20, $25, maybe even $30, if he has a good playoffs, I could see, I would see myself selling that card. So he's a player that I'd be looking towards because he might get traded after this season just because they're going to have to sign some guys. And his contract is one of those that I think are tradable because they have a player like Nick Robinson who could come in and kind of take his role. So a guy like either him or maybe Andreas Janssen, but I think Kapanen's a guy who you could capitalize a little more in terms of value. So I have Kapanen as my sell. And hold, I went very close to you when you went with Connor McDavid. I went with the number 2 overall pick in the same draft, Jack Eichel. I'm holding on Eichel. Here's the reason why. He's not in the playoffs, so his card shouldn't fluctuate anyway, so you're not going to really sell or buy because he's not an undervalued player right now, I don't believe. He's about roughly market value, maybe a little bit of a bargain, but I still wouldn't be buying right now. But I'd hold if you got him. And the reason being is they are under new management, and Jack Eichel doesn't seem happy with the way things are going in Buffalo. And I could see him getting traded. And if he ends up getting traded to a team with a big market, that card will explode, right? I think if he ends up on, let's say, I don't know, Montreal, or if he ends up going out to, let's say, maybe Toronto, heaven forbid, probably not. They don't need him. But any big market, I think that card explodes because he's one of the most underrated players in the league, in my opinion, and he's being wasted in Buffalo. And I think that Jack Eichel can win awards in the future. And at right now, you can get his card for about $80. And I think that probably triples if he ends up on a new team and they're successful. So I think Jack Eichel is my hold for to round out our buy, sell, and holds.
Nah, absolutely. I literally could not agree with you anymore on all those picks. You know, Fiala is just so dirt cheap right now. And, you know, I find it funny that you picked up, you know, basically a dozen of those because, you know, while the card is dirt cheap at $5, you know, you pick up enough of them and there you go. That's just another quick, easy way to fund the bankroll, you know. And especially Jack Eichel. I mean, his card prices, I believe currently now, maybe there's still a bit more wiggle room than they're currently being sold for. But you're absolutely right. It's almost inevitable that he will eventually get out of Buffalo. And when he does that, I mean, it's basically the same thing as Dylan Larkin being stuck right now in Detroit. So once both of them get out of those markets, or if the teams just happen to start performing, goodbye, sayonara. Those card prices are going off to the moon.
Should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. And I like this buy, sell, hold game because it just lets us kind of, it's a fun exercise to see how the market is going. Okay, let's think about, okay. So let's move on and let's talk about some of the pickups that we've made throughout the month, some of the massive pickups. So I'll let you go first. What is the best pickup that you made this month?
Oh, now, I mean, it is tough to kind of identify one particular pickup. But if I had to choose one, I know a lot of us. Okay. In that case, I'll go with two. I'll start it off with Matt Tkachuk. You know, this is a player that maybe a lot of people dislike, especially if you're out. You know, if you're out towards Edmonton, you're not going to like Matt Tkachuk, but the reality is he's a young star-studded player who comes from a great hockey family. And right now you can even pick up his card prices for which I still believe are a great price. If you're into PSA for hockey, around $50, you can get a PSA 10 of Matt Tkachuk. And I mean, at the end of the day, it really doesn't get much better than that. Here's a guy who can really do it all. I believe as his career progresses and as his surrounding teammates get better, you know, he will be closer to, 85 plus point season type of player. So that was the first one. Another guy who I picked up, for pretty cheap here too, and I'm mainly focusing on raw ungraded cards, is Nikolai Ehlers. You know, like I said, just a Canadian team, big market team. His card prices, let's see here, they're going for around $7 to $8 Canadian there, raw ungraded. And I mean, all day you can get that. So with a pretty big market in Winnipeg, they love their hockey there. And I believe Winnipeg does actually have a better chance at winning even this year's Stanley Cup than a lot of people are giving them credit for. And a guy like Nikolai Ehlers, he can really do it all. He's a mini, well-behaved Brad Marchand in the sense that he's good on the power play. He draws penalties. He puts up the points. And I mean, any time that you're on a line with guys like Blake Wheeler or Patrick Laine, then ultimately you're going to have success. And that's exactly what he's done. And even Kyle Connor is certainly going to complement his game too. So those are, I guess, three picks, if you will, if you add in Kyle Connor, who I've been picking up, and, you know, I can't wait for the season to restart, because those are cards there. I'm telling you, you know, I'm going to get my money back, and if not more.
And those are great pickups, because if you look at all three of those, you can get them all for under $20. So they're super affordable pickups as well.
Yeah.
All right. I'll move on to my pickups of the month. And as opposed to doing singles like you, I actually ended up doing a big pickup. I went to my LCS, the local card store, and I took a little look through the show boxes, and I picked up some serious deals, and you're not going to believe me when I tell you the price that I paid for these. So I ended up finding five young guns, okay, five of them. Artemi Panarin, Alex DeBrincat, Kyle Connor, Colin White, and Alex Formanton. I paid, in total, for all five of them, $35.
No, you didn't.
All five for $35.
That's a deal. That's a buy one half off and get four for free.
Yeah, right. Like
the deal of the century.
Panarin himself is going to be a $35-$40 card once the playoffs start. And somehow I was able to also get to break it, Connor, Colin White, and Formanton. Now, White and Formanton, those were kind of just because they were like $2 a piece. So I was like, yeah, let's pick them up. Let's see if, they get a nice influx of talent over the next couple of seasons, if these guys end up doing a thing. If not, it was a $2 investment. I'm okay with it. But being able to get Panarin, to break it, I got Panarin, to break it, Connor, all for $10 a piece, with White and Formanton for $2.50 a piece. So I made out like a bandit. That was one of the best pickups I've ever made in my life.
Yeah, and I mean, that's another guy who I highly believe that we should kind of focus on really quickly here, which is Alex DeBrincat. Now, obviously, this year maybe he didn't have the greatest of seasons, but I believe he's still 21 years old. And I mean, Chicago, yeah, they're struggling as a whole, but Alex DeBrincat is, you know, for the lack of better terms, one of the most underrated goal scorers within the NHL. So his car prices are consistently really, really cheap. Even if you didn't get that deal, I believe they're going for around $12 to $15 Canadian. So, just wanted to throw that one out there too. Maybe potentially if the Blackhawks do knock off a team, then you'll certainly see that card price see at least a little bit of a jump.
Mm-hmm. And my other one was also, it was a trade. I kind of want to talk about a trade that I made that I really think that I made out pretty well on. So you let me know how I did on this one. I thought I did pretty good, but you let me know yourself. So I acquired William Nylander, Matt Tkachuk, and Cody Glass in exchange for Brock Besser, Jared McCann, Nikita Triamkin, Corey Schneider, and Thatcher Demko. Clearly they were a Canucks fan.
Yeah, I definitely feel like you definitely came out on top there. Brock Besser, I would argue, like last season, that was a card that maybe I wouldn't want to sell at. Brock Besser to me is still up in the air. I'm not sure if he's going to be an elite player. Certainly he's capable of being an all-star player, and he's capable of having great seasons. Now, would I classify him as elite? No, I wouldn't. So, I would argue 100% you won that trade, so good on you.
And a guy like him, I think this is where it comes into, do your research. So Brock Besser, if you don't watch the Canucks, you just assume, oh, he must be playing with Pettersson still. He actually wasn't playing with Pettersson for a majority of this season. He ended up on the second line with Bo Horvat. When he's not playing with Pettersson, it makes a bit of a difference, as you could imagine, in his play. So, plus that, coupled with the fact that he had that really bad back injury last season, I think is still affecting him this year. So, Besser's a guy that I'm still buying and holding on. I do have another one of his cards, so it wasn't the only one that I had. I had a double of it, so I was able to part with it. I was happy to do so in order to pick up a guy like Nylander and Tkachuk, and as well as Cody Glass, who I think is going to be a pretty good player for Vegas. And, another thing that I liked about this trade is when you talk about cards, and maybe we should have also put this in the first segment, the liquidity of cards is also important. So the fact that I traded 5 cards for 3 cards doesn't necessarily mean that I lost right away, because I traded away 5 cards that could bring me back money. I also brought in 3 cards that is, I gave away quantity, but I think I acquired more quality. So when it comes to, the liquidity of cards, it'll be a lot easier to sell Nylander, Tkachuk, and Cody Glass than it will to get rid of Jared McCann, Triamkin, Corey Schneider. Right. So I think that's another thing that you need to look into when you're looking to acquire cards is how liquid is this going to be if I need to sell it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even a guy like Willie Nylander, I mean, you would probably know slightly better than I do, but from, just speaking to all my hockey friends, he's certainly a fan favorite in a large market as Toronto. Obviously, his dad did great things with my team, the New York Rangers, and even Washington. But at the end of the day, those are just 3 really, really good players. And like you said, sometimes you do give up quantity, but it's important to gain that quality. And you certainly did. And, you know, and at the end of the day, you're definitely going to be happy and you're going to sleep easily knowing that, hey, you know what? You got three great young guns.
Yeah, 100%. All right. That was a good conversation, Bird. And I think, you know, the first investing episode went off pretty well. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let us know on Twitter. If you did, you could hit me up at Mickey_Canuck. Also the show at Locked On NHL. Bird at Bird. It's at Bird Bouchard, right?
It's at Bird_Bouchard.
There it is, at Bird_Bouchard. So if you have any other questions, investing questions, or any tips that you thought or that you've acquired over the time that you've been investing, if you are a hockey card investor, feel free to reach out to us and let us know if you have any questions or if you have any tips for us, because, you know, we always want to learn as well. And if you have something that you think is working for you, maybe we could share that with the rest of the listeners. But that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. You'd subscribe to the Locked On NHL podcast on all podcasting platforms and receive daily NHL hockey content. The playoffs are right around the corner, so we'll be gearing up to get ready to talk about a lot more on this channel. So be sure to check back in here later this week for some more episodes. Until then, keep it locked right here on the Locked On NHL podcast.